Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. We are in the middle of a section of scripture in which the Lord Jesus is paying the ultimate price for sin. Mm-hmm. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And what we know scripturally is that sin's price tag, the wages of sin, is death. And the death that Jesus is dying, we all know this, is the death for sin, not his own, but the sins of the world. He is the propitiation for our sins, John taught us, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so Christ's death is efficient, is sufficient for all men, but is efficient to those that invest faith in his finished work upon the cross. Mm-hmm. So we're right in that section, my friends, in Luke chapter 23. And the Bible says in verse 35, and the people stood beholding. So Jesus had just said those wonderful words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even while the Roman soldiers were callously gambling away his own clothing, Jesus hanging naked upon the cross, in shame and in agony, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. Isn't it interesting, Eric, that the two groups that are singled out here in this passage as being especially vitriolic toward the Lord are the Jewish rulers and the Roman soldiers?
For the two people that you would think would have the most character and the most common sense are the ones that are...
Throwing the blame. Yeah, and that's one way to look at it. But the way I was looking at it is, these are people that hate each other.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they're agreeing in this. And they're agreeing.
Same as Pilate and Herod.
Same as Pilate and Herod.
Relationship was broken, and this circumstance brought them back together.
Made them friends. And that's something. And how petty are these rulers? These religious men, I picture these men in gray beards and they're all their religious phylacteries on and their robes and
golden
they're
scepter.
Out there and they're just like trash talking. You know, you're not so bad now. You could save other people. Where are you now? Oh, you really are the Messiah. I guess you really are the Messiah. But if you were, why? Think about that.
Yeah, it doesn't match. It doesn't add up. Because you got these people that are acting like babies.
Right.
You know, and they're supposed to be the leaders, the ones that are, you know, everyone's supposed to follow them.
Well, but it shows you the true raw emotion.
Yeah.
Because they were threatened by Jesus, threatened by his popularity. We know that. We've already talked about that. That's why they wouldn't arrest him in public. They were threatened. They were people pleasers. They were, this is just so... indicative of their weakness.
Yeah, that's something that the Pharisees and the Romans, I guess, had in common was they both were always wanting to please the crowd. It always came back to a political narrative where as long as we can keep face to the people, you know, we can make decisions and keep our foot down all we want to, but really when it comes to the face of people, we want to please them.
And isn't it interesting as well that the Roman soldiers who had just been verbally offered forgiveness by the Lord.
Out loud, right.
Now have finished gambling for his clothes and now are mocking him. So maybe there's somebody in your life that you have forgiven or at least express the spirit of forgiveness toward them. And all that's done is ramped up their hatred and venom toward you. Because that's what happened here.
Yeah. It almost got them like more excited or more like more against him. Like they were attacking him at this point.
How callous did they have to be?
Yeah.
Look at verse 38. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, well, to go back, remember that the rulers argued about that. Don't know. Just say they said to Pilate, just write that he said he was the King of the Jews.
Yeah. You know,
that, and Pilate said, no, what I've written, I've written. Kind of like Pilate saying, okay, you got your way, but you're not going to get your way here. This is what I'm going to put down. So
yeah, you're not telling me the details. I've already done what you've asked me to do.
Right.
You know?
And remember, the superscription on the cross was the crime that they had committed. Murder, sedition, thievery, whatever it was that they were being crucified for, the crime. Mm. So what was Jesus' crime? Think about the irony. He's the King of the Jews. It was a crime, people considered a crime because they could not imagine in their wildest dream that it could be true, and yet it was true, wasn't it? It wasn't a crime, it was a righteous profession.
Yeah. And as he came on the scene, it takes me back though. Like if we take a couple steps back, for the Pharisees, they wanted Christ to come on as this pompous, you know, King of the Jews, or the one that was going to, you know, he was the one that was going to look down on everybody else and be exactly like them. Now all of a sudden it turned out to where he's not that guy. And now it's like they're mad and they give him that title anyway over the top of his head as a crime.
The more you unpack it and kind of unwrap that onion, the more you just see the raw hypocrisy of these people. Look at verse 39. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Wow. You know, one of the most famous stories in the Bible of the mercy of God is the thief on the cross.
His heart was completely changed. And for him to look back at the other guy and be like, do you not see like everything that we're going through here? Has this not broken you? Has this not brought you to a point where you have nowhere else to turn, man? You're hanging on a cross right now. And we're going to see that in just a second, how he gets back at him. But this one was broken and he saw the salvation of God and he knew that this was the Christ.
It's the contrast of pride and humility. Mm-hmm. It's the contrast of religion and relationship. Think about the one thief was saying, you know, if you're really the Christ, the anointed one, then save yourself. Oh, and us too. So he wasn't looking to see Christ in his proper identity and submit to that.
Yeah.
He was looking for a silver bullet. He was looking for a magic potion. He was saying, well, I've got no other shot. So, hey, listen, if you really are who you say you are, then come, let's get us out of this. You know, mm-hmm. It's a foxhole confession. And that's what religion offers. There was no real submission to Christ. There was no sense of guilt and sin. There was no correct identification of the Savior. So that's what religion does. Religion minimizes sin and maximizes self. minimizes the solution as being the savior, maximizes the solution as being the system. Mm-hmm. And here's this man that is such a tremendous example of what religion is.
Yeah, the light truly never comes on. Like, he never sees the truth through all of this. And that's, sadly, that's the case with religious people.
Think about the contrast. So the other thief takes umbrage with the rebuke and the railing of the first thief. And he said, listen, there ought to be some humility.
Yeah.
Don't you understand that we're hanging on this cross because we deserve this?
Yeah.
So here's a man that realizes his sin. He admits his sin publicly. Mm-hmm. He is submissive to the just punishment of his sin. He recognizes that Jesus is without sin.
Yes.
We suffer justly, he unjustly.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't need for Christ to save him, to do something for him physically to prove who he is.
Right.
The fact that he has suffered the way he has suffered unjustly has proven to this thief
right.
who he is.
Right. And then he just heard the words, forgive them. So obviously that struck a chord with that man that was hanging on the cross. Like, man, if he's going to forgive them, you know, obviously he saw the salvation of the Lord.
Yeah, that's a really good point, that where the soldiers may not have been listening
yeah.
to that word of forgiveness, there was a thief that heard those words of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, perhaps that was the catalyst
yeah.
for him to think, well, is there forgiveness for me?
Yeah.
But interesting, he wasn't asking for, he never one time asked for physical salvation. The mm-hmm. the one that didn't believe on him said, hey, listen, save us if you can. Get
yeah,
us
yeah.
off this cross.
Yep.
You know, the other one never asked to get off the cross,
mm-hmm.
but he asked for Christ. He asked for the Christ that was on the cross.
Yeah. Forgive me, you know, and he doesn't even say that. All the words that he says is, remember me.
Yeah.
All I want you to do is just remember my face, remember yeah. my name.
Remember
you know?
Me. In other words, the word remember here doesn't mean like in the sense of, I can't remember the Pythagorean theorem for my geometry test. but remember means to regard me.
Mm.
Regard me. Regard me as valuable. Regard me as somebody. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. So think about what he believed about Christ. He believed him to be sinless.
Mm-hmm.
He believed him to be the Christ because he's going into thy kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
He believed in eternity. He believed in the afterlife. He believed in the potential of salvation because he's asking to be regarded.
Yeah.
So all of it's right there.
Yeah.
All of it's right there. The humility, the admission, the belief, yeah. all of it is right there.
Yeah.
It's such a wonderful picture for all of us about the simplicity of, and yet the power of salvation.
Yeah. What a God to look on us like that, you know, at least the ones that will turn like this thief did and say, God, if, you know, in my own sin, you know, in all the things that I've done, if you would just forgive me. And for him to see that, it's awesome. That's incredible for him to do that on the cross.
And the promise that was his is a promise that is ours.
Mm-hmm.
Verily, that means in all truth, I'm not lying to you. Verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus didn't go to suffer in hell for 3 days, as some people would try to make us to believe.
Mm-hmm.
No, Jesus did go to the realm of the dead,
mm-hmm.
including the place called paradise,
yeah.
but he went and the thief was there. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Right.
There is life after death. There's eternal life after death. It's not soul sleep. It's not a dream. It's
yep.
not a fairy tale. It's
yep.
true. And you can imagine that very day when that thief, who, by the way, died after Jesus died first,
mm-hmm.
when he died that very day, that very moment, they were together in paradise. What a reunion that must have been, not separated by the cross.
Yeah. Imagine the ease, you know, all of a sudden, all that stress, all that strife, all that hurt. And Christ said, no, you're going to be with me in just maybe an hour, maybe, you know, 30 minutes from now, you're going to be with me in paradise. And for him to see that, and then for that reunion, yeah, like you said, that was probably awesome to experience that. You know,
I hope
probably not the cross, but
right. No, yeah, not the cross part of it.
Yeah.
And I hope that's an encouragement to you, my friends, that Maybe you feel that you're on a cross today. Maybe you feel that life, because of your own bad choices, has put you in a position where there's no hope. But always understand there's hope in Christ. He knows what you're going through. He has died in your place. He's the perfect substitute, and he offers you the exact same promise today. So I hope you'll take him up on the offer. It's a free offer. It's a wonderful offer, and it's Christ's offer to you. God bless you, my friends. Have a great day in the Lord.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.